Hey, good evening to everybody. Parshas V'yishlach, which we'll read this coming Shabbat, of course, deals with the ultimate confrontation between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov has been on the run from his brother at the bequest of his mother and father, Yitzchak and Rivka. Yaakov has been spending upwards of 20 years in the house of Laban. His father-in-law married, of course, Rachel Maya, moved his family out of the home of his father-in-law, Laban. And now, ultimately, Esav has caught up with Yaakov, and what will be a ultimate showdown in Parshas Vayishlach between Esav, who is threatening, of course, to kill his brother Yaakov as a result of him taking the brachos which he so desired. The psukim that speak of the immediate confrontation toward Perek Lamed Beis and the beginning of Perek Lamed Gimel notes. And specifically here in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Vayisa Yaakov Eina Vayar. Yaakov lifts up his eyes and sees, Vine Esav Ba. Esav is within eyes reach. V'imo Arba Meosish. And with him are 400 men. What does Yaakov do in preparation for this ultimate battle and confrontation as he is within eyes reach of Yaakov? Vayachat Etzayeladim Alea Valrachel Vashtesh Rachos. Yaakov divides his camp and divides his children among Leah, Rachel, and his two shrachos, of course, Bilhah and Zilpah. Then Pasuk Beis, the entire Lamed Gimel reads as follows: Vayasim es ha-shrachos v'yaldehen rishona. Yaakov places Bilhah and Zilpah, the two shrachos, the maids, in the front of the line with their children. Second, v'leah v'yaldeha acharonim, places Leah and her children behind Bilhah and Zilpah and their children. There's Rachel, there's Yosef, Acharonim, and finally, his wife Rachel, and his youngest, and his second youngest son, Yosef, last. Rashi, commenting on this order, as to why the Shrachos were placed first, followed by Leah and her children, and then followed by Rachel and Yosef, says three words, quoting the Bereishis Rabbah, Achron, Achron, Chavit. Yaakov placed those who he was most, or were most beloved to him, and that included Rachel and Yosef, of course, last. The Radak, explaining the opinion of Rashi, says, Achron, Achron, Chaviv, Ula Yanuach Kaso Bahariga Sarishonim, V'yaniach Acharonim. Yaakov placed them in this order, chronologically, in order that maybe, just maybe, Esav's anger would cool once he killed those in the beginning and in the front lines of battle, and by the time he reached Acharonim, by the time he reached Leah and her children, by the time for sure he reached Rachel and her son Yosef, at that point maybe Esav would not kill Rachel and Yosef. So it seems to be that what Yaakov has done is created a chronological order in terms of potentially giving up lives for Esav to kill. Shvachos, Bilhah and Zilpah and their children first, Leah in second order, and finally Rachel and Yosef in final order. In the Chubas of the Tzitz Eliezer, B'Eliezer Waldenberg, in Chelek Yudches, Simen Samech Tes, he says, Tzarech li'ilin tuva. This which Yaakov seems to have done, and especially in light of the comment of Rashi and Radak of Achron Achron Chavit, he says is against what seems to be a Mefurash Mishnah, a Mishnah explicit comment of the Mishnah in the 8th parak of Mesechus Chumos Mishnah Yubayth. The Mishnah reads, Nashim Shamulam Nachrim Tznu Lanu Achas Mikem V'nitama. If a group of Nachrim say to a group of women, give, hand over one of the Jewish women in order that we could defile her. And if you don't hand over one of these women for us to defile, we will defile all of the Jewish women. What's the rule? What's the halacha? The Mishnah Paskin, Diyatam was kulam, Val yimsulam nefesh achati b'Yisrael. You allow all the women to be defiled, and in no way will we ever hand over one of the women, specifically, the kumva asay, to be defiled. Furthermore, Tzitz Eliezer by Waldenberg notes that Yaakov's setup seems to not only be against the Mishnah Mefresh, but to go on to Tosefta Mefresh. So Tosefta in Perek Zayin of Chumos Halacha for Gimel says, Siya, Shal B'nei Adam, Shomer Lam Nachrim, Tzunu Lanu Achas Mikem Nahargeyu, Vim Lav Harinu Hargim Eskulam, a group of Nachrim that go and come in front of a group of Jews and say, hand over one of you Jews to us, and we will kill him, or else we will kill all of you if you don't hand one over. The Mishnah, the Tosefta rules, Yehargu kulam val yimsulam nefesh achas, so it's prohibited to hand over, to turn in, tnu, to to give over one of the Jews in order to be murdered. That's what we consider to be hariga biyadayim, explicit murder, and that is prohibited. The Tosef and the Mishnah are passing both by the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam is in Perek Hey of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Halacha Hey, and the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeh Etzim and Kufn and Zayin, Sif Aleph, rules as such. If so, asks Rabbi Waldenberg, how could it be that Yaakov almost, what seems to be handed over, the Shvachos, Bilhah and Zilpah, and their children, handed over Leah and her children second in order to protect and to contain and ultimately to save the life of Rachel? Isn't he handing over the Shvachos? Isn't he handing over Leah? How can we understand what Yaakov did? Furthermore, the Tzitz Eliezer notes that in earlier Psukim, as Yaakov again was on his way to meet Esav, when he forgot the Pachem Ketan and the small jugs behind him as he was crossing the Nachal, the Psukim seem to indicate that Yaakov passed over with all of his family, all of his wives and all of his children, all together. The Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Beis, Vayavire Metanachal, that Yaakov passed over the sea. Vayikach Eshtei Nashav, he took his two wives, Eshtei Shfachosav, and his two maids, Bilhah and Zilpah, Ves Achara Sayyaladav, and his 11 children, Vayavarath Mavar Yabok, and he crossed the Mabok Junction, the water of, or the ford of the Yabok River. Here it says that Tzitz Eliezer, Yaakov did not seem to put anybody in any chronological order, not the Shvachos first, not Leah second, and not Rachel last. They all crossed over together, and the Ramban learned that he crossed over with them all together and in no apparent order. If that's the case, he asked the Tzitz Eliezer, why immediately before he meets Esav is now Yaakov placing them in chronological order, as opposed to when he crossed over the Mavre Yabok sometime earlier, he did not do as such. Those are the two questions that the Tzitz Eliezer raises in his Tshuvas Chelek Yudches Simen Samachas in Ozbeid. Tzitz Eliezer explains that Yaakov recognized that the moment before he met Esav, that he was no longer in a situation of pikuach nefesh. He was no longer in physical harm or in harm's way. No longer was this a situation where he was concerned for his life. Because Yaakov prays in between and davens, in between the crossing of Mavre Yabok, from the moment that he crosses the Mavre Yabok, Haktzileni nam yarachim yar Esav, he asks Hashem, save me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for my brother from Esav. And not only that, there's a second incident that occurs. Yaakov faces off with the Masaro Shel Esav, with the Malach, and he struggles with the angel, and there, the angel is defeated. And at that moment, the Malach asks, what's Yaakov's name? And he says, his name is Yaakov. And the Malach responds to Yaakov and says, no longer will your name be Yaakov, Kim Yisrael. You have fought with divine, with God, and with man, and you have overcome. And at this point, Yaakov recognizes that he has a Kadosh Baruch on his side. He defeats the Malach. The Malach has given him his bracha. He davens, and he recognizes that no longer is he in any trouble. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu only places them in this order to show his chiba for them, to show his love for them. But not that there is really handing over the Shvachos, not that he's really handing over Leah in light of Rachel and Yosef. Absolutely not. He only places them in this particular order to show and to teach and to point out that he loves Rachel and Yosef most. And indeed, it's a situation of Achron, Achron, Chaviv. But in light of Achron, Achron, Chaviv, says the Tzitz Eliezer, Hichriya shal kidon da mutter. When it comes to the rules and the laws and the belief that this was his love in Rachel and Yosef, mutter zos kde losses bitu lichibasul hachavivam of Yosef, to give them a greater sense of love. That Yaakov understood was permitted. But of course, in no way did Yaakov act in contrast to the mission of the Tosefta Maseches Trumos. In no way was Yaakov handing over Leah, and in no way was Yaakov handing over the Shvachos and each of their children, because no longer was there a situation of sakana, of danger. And the proof to this, says the Tzitz Eliezer, is look how Yaakov acted when there was danger. Before he appeared and before he confronted with the sorrow of the Malach Shel Esav, then there was a real danger. The Malach didn't give him a bracha yet that he's going to be okay. And at that point, when he crossed Mavar Yabok, like the Ramban and the Pasuk seems to say explicitly, they all crossed over together. So in that situation, when there's a real bona fide sakana, in no way was there any chronological order in terms of who was going to pass over Mavar Yabok first. And indeed, Yaakov acted in line with the Mishnah and with the Tosefta in the Maseches Trumos, as opposed to here, when there was no longer any sakana, when he was within eye's reach of Esav, and therefore he placed him in that order because of Achron, Achron, Chaviv. This, which we have discussed in the Pesach Halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, and the Mishnah, and the Tosefta, and the Maseches Trumos, is that no way are we ever permitted to hand over anyone for murder? That's called hariga biyadayim, that's active murder, and that's prohibited. Unfortunately, the tshuvas from the era throughout Jewish history, and most recently in the Holocaust, of situations where the Nazis, yimach shemam v'zichram, created and fabricated such situations where they would hoard Jews into a particular situation, would press and would threaten that if a Jewish group would not hand over one in the group, they would kill all of them. And you could read tshuvas and the tshuvas mimamakim of Rav Oshri and other gedolim who had to deal with such tragedies and such trying and difficult and painful questions, heart-wrenching questions. But indeed, the psak is clear that in no way and in no situation are ever allowed to hand over a Jew to be murdered, even though many others will be taken in his place. However, our situation, Baruch Hashem, we don't find ourselves in those difficult circumstances, but what we do find ourselves in is in a circumstance when the opportunity arises to save one of two people. Regularly, throughout hospitals, throughout organ transplantation programs, in ambulances and the like, situations arise when individuals have to make a choice to save one of two lives. What do you do? Imagine, for example, an ambulance where three paramedics arrives at the scene of a car accident. There are a total of 8 passengers that require serious medical attention, and only 3 paramedics can attend to those 8. Who and which of those 8 people do the 3 paramedics tend to? When it comes to insufficient organs for transplantation, when it comes to a specific amount of beds that are available in the ICU, and there are not enough beds to help every individual, how do you deal with who receives an organ first? Such decisions regarding the allocation of scarce medical resources are regularly being made, as I noted, hospitals, doctors' offices, pharmacies, emergency rooms, ICUs, and in the vast amount of organ transplantation programs. How do we deal with these situations, and how do we determine, halachically speaking, who receives the care that is necessary first? If you read throughout the literature that exists today, not in the rabbinic literature, not in halachic literature, but in from ethical boards on hospitals and the like, in terms of the situations, in terms of how they deal with it, one citation that I will quote from the American Thoracic Society states that it's too morally problematic to define and ranking relative degree of potential benefit with ambiguity, bias, or subjectivity is extremely difficult. Therefore, patients should be treated on the same first-come, first-served basis. Is that what we do? Is that how we respond? How do we, as Torah Jews, halachic Jews, deal with like situations? And I would like to begin by referring you to two tshuvas, two contemporary tshuvas, one from Moshe Feinstein, Ligas Moshe, one from Mr. Eliezer, Lester Waldenberg, who dealt with similar situations. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a tshuva, in Chosha Mishpat Chelik Beis, Simen Ayin Gimel Oz Beis, was asked by two doctors that there was a medical ICU unit that had 2 beds available. However, that had one bed available, and there were 2 patients who were clearly in need of the bed in the ICU. One patient was absolutely in need of the bed, and were he not to have the bed, his life expectancy would be very short, and ultimately the long-term prognosis of this particular patient was not terribly good without receiving the bed, and the bed for that individual was an absolute requirement. The second patient, however, did not need emergency resources as much and had a very good chance of a full recovery. Who and which of those 2 patients should be admitted? Halacha l'maaseh, it's a practical question, 2 from doctors asked Moshe, who do we give the bed to? The one who absolutely positively needs it, but the long-term life expectancy is limited, or the one who doesn't absolutely need the bed, but the long-term life expectancy is good if he has the bed. The Moshe Zatzal ruled that the second patient should be admitted first because precedence should be given to the patient who may be cured from treatment administered rather than to the patient who is likely to survive only a short period of time. The Moshe understands that the priorities in terms of the allocation of a scarce medical resource, a bed in an ICU, should be given to a patient who has a better long-term life expectancy. That is who the individual, or which of the 2 patients should receive the bed. Psak from Moshe Feinstein, Choshe Mishpat. Rabbi Waldenberg, in his Tzitz Eliezer, is responding to a shaila he received from Moshe Sternbach in South Africa, an emergency room doctor in South Africa, asked Rav Sternbach, who later passed the shaila on to the Tzitz Eliezer by Waldenberg, who was the chief Rav of Ezra's Torah in Yerushalayim, but also of Shaar HaTzedek Medical Hospital, and the South African medical doctor who was in charge of the emergency room said that his particular emergency room in South Africa had a policy that if there was a patient and a particular respirator that was available, and somebody came in need of the respirator, but the respirator, if it was to be given to that particular patient, would be kept on, and the long-term life expectancy for that particular person on the ventilator was limited. But if you give it to that particular patient, we know, based upon statistics, that somebody else is going to come in within a day's amount of time and is going to require the ventilator. And the ventilator for the second patient will absolutely allow the second patient to recover. The policy of the hospital is that the patient who comes in with a short-term life expectancy with the one-time ventilator should not be given the ventilator. That was the position of the emergency room in South Africa. Therefore, the chief emergency room physician, who was a firm Jew, asked Rabbi Waldenberg, ultimately passed along by Rabbi Sternberg, whether this policy was in line with halachic protocol. So Taliyazar, in a very, very lengthy tshuva, responds that the hospital policy is absolutely in line with halacha. And like Rabbi Moshe, Rabbi Waldenberg ruled, a patient who can be completely healed should receive precedence over a patient whose life will only be prolonged for a short period of time. That's a true that Tzitzeliezer, Chelek Yedzayin, Simen Samech Peiz, Os Tes Vav. You see, both from these two contemporary truths of Moshe and Rabbi Waldenberg, that long-term life expectancy plays a significant and critical role in determining which patient should receive the allocation of a scarce medical resource, and that will override the individual who has a short-term life expectancy, both when it comes to a bed in a ICU like Ramosha Shaila and the Tzitzeliezer dealing with the ventilator. What we have to understand is how this jives with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in the end in Sechas Harios, Mishnah Paragimel, Mishnah Zayin, that there is absolutely an order and a list of priorities. The Mishnah says explicitly, Ha'ish kodem lisha lahachios vashiv aveda, a man and a woman who are both in need of life, and there's only the opportunity to save one, the man receives precedence. The Taz explains that a man is mechuyav in more mitzvahs than a woman. And furthermore, the Mishnah rules the hashiv aveda. If an object is lost, the return of the object, sheish lahaktim hashavas aveda, sheish lahashavas aveda lisha. A man should be and receive precedence when it comes to a lost item, a lost object, before a woman. The Mishnah continues, Ha'isha kodemes l'ish l'chsus, lo tzim mibez ha'shevi. If a man and a woman are in captive, or a man and a woman need clothing, a woman receives that allocation first. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, in the 8th Mishnah in Paragimel of Harias Kohen, called them Levi, Levi l'Yisrael, Yisrael l'mamzer, mamzer l'nothin, nothin l'ger, ger levi m'shuchar. There are rules, there are priorities. Kohen comes before Levi. Levi comes before Yisrael. Yisrael comes before a mamzer. Mamzer comes before a nothing, etc., etc. If there are a list of priorities, the Mishnah is clear and articulate in terms of the list of priorities, how can it be that Ramosh and the Tzitz Eliezer seem to indicate that the overall health and long-term success of the patients should override the Mishnah? In truth, Ramosha recognizes this problem, and Ramosha explicitly notes this issue when it comes to a tshuva that he writes on a very similar topic. And he says, it's impossible, says Ramosha, to disregard the priorities listed in Mishnah Haaretz. That's Ramosha says explicitly. This tshuva can be found in Yigdus Moshe, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Simen Samech Beis, Os Aleph, Dibra Maschil, Achakach, where Ramosha writes that even these sets of rules that we recognize in Mishnah Zayin and Mishnah Ches and Perek Gimel L'Oriel, we can't simply disregard them, but we have to lead with them and rule with them, and we can't use them specifically without proper investigation. That's what Ramosha says. What Ramosha is saying essentially is that he's not disregarding the list of priorities that are written in the Mishnah. However, to simply take the list without looking at the overall circumstances and the other factors that exist, that's inappropriate. Other factors have to be taken into account. And often those other factors will outweigh the set of priorities when it comes to saving one life over the other. Of course, when all things are equal and there are two people drowning and you have to make a decision, then you would refer back to the Mishnah, Paragimel, Mishnah Zayin, Mishnah Ches. All things are on the table, everything's equal, and there are no two ways about it. then the list of, and the Seder exists of the Mishnah Harayot. But practically speaking, when it comes to emergency rooms and pharmacies and other allocation of scarce medical resources, when there are other factors to take into account, the patient who has a better chance of survival than the other plays a major priority, and therefore, as a result, the genealogy, the scholarship, and the gender are not taken into account as much any time you're assessing a life-threatening triage situation. Of course, the Mishnah, it's Pashut, this the Mishnah Savram, Rabbi Abraham mentions the contemporary work. He says that another reason that the Mishnah and the set of order that is listed in the Mishnah Harayos, genealogy, scholarship, gender, don't play a role, because the Mishnah is only talking about when all things are equal, similar to our Moshe set. And halachic authorities understand that the dispensation of the Mishnah only is upheld when both parties are coming at the exact same time. So while Rav Moshe says that the dispensation of the Mishnah and the rules of the Mishnah Harayos is only true when all things are equal, the case is exactly the same. Two people are drowning and they need the same resource. That's when you'll refer to the Mishnah Harayos. So Rabbi Abraham understands that it's only true as well when it's coming to the same exact time. Paramedics, for an example, in the case that we began with, and they arrive at the scene of an accident, and they have to decide immediately who to deal with and who to work with. They can't start calling going Lev Yisrael. They can't start looking Ish Isha. They have to deal with who is there at the moment. And whoever they can get to and however they could reach, those are the people who should be treated first. And you can't start taking into account different rules in the Mishnah Harayos, because then fundamentally somebody's life is going to be lost. In a very, very famous or well-known psak, which has not been printed, from the Pia Shmua, from Rav Moshe's Talmidim and his family, we know that Rav Yitzchak Herzog, the late chief rabbi of Israel, when the penicillin vaccine became available in Israel, he sent the Shaila to Rav Moshe and asked who should receive the penicillin vaccination and in what order. Rav Moshe responded that the doctor should administer the vaccination to the first patient encounters, and you should go in that order. There's not a situation or a time where you have to start dealing with who's who. We don't have the benefits of taking into account. And here, when all things are considered to be equal, it's not exactly equal. Because to determine and to look into and to get the list and the order, we don't necessarily have all that information. And therefore, as a result, Rav Moshe Paskind then ruled, can be found in the Sefer Kavod HaRav on page 169, that this was the psak of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Following this set of orders indicating that the Mishnah Harayos is not always explicitly followed, take a look at a psak of the Primogodim and Orachaim, Simon Shin Chaf Ches Os Aleph in the Mishpatos. He says that a patient who is definitely dangerously ill takes precedence over a patient who is only possibly dangerously ill. So if there are two people, one is a Vadai Mesukan and one is a Sasek Mesukan, so then certainly you will save the life of the definitely dangerously ill over the patient who's only possibly dangerously ill. A similar psak, the Berhetev and Rachaim, and Simon Shin Lamedalit, Os Chafet, Kivegu refers to this as well, in Yoredeya, that a healthy person or a relatively healthy person, his care and his medical intention takes precedence over a dangerously ill patient. Of course, very similar to the psak we mentioned before of Moshe, and of course, Rav Moshe himself and the Tshuva, as well as the Tzitz Eliezer by Waldenberg and each of their respective Tshuva said that a patient who may be cured certainly takes precedence over a patient who is likely only to survive a short period of time. Those the Psakim, and here you see how even though there is a list and there is an order of priorities in the Mishnah Harayos, we can't always take them into account because that Mishnah is only dealing with a situation when all things are equal, both in terms of time and in terms of overall health and benefit of the two people who we are dealing with. But as mentioned, in the tshuvas that we are dealing with, we see very clearly in practical and in real life that unless you're dealing with equivalent and similar situations, the best example I could think of is two people drowning and you could only save one of them, then all things are equal, you would refer to the Mishnah Harayos. But when there are other factors to take into account, dangerously ill versus not dangerously ill, healthy versus a dangerously ill patient, long-term life expectancy versus short-term life expectancy, those areas trump the Mishnah and Maseches Harayos. To conclude, we've dealt with triage in life-threatening situations. Let's conclude when it comes to triage decisions in non-life-threatening illness. A doctor in his office, does he have to follow the list of the order in Maseches Harayot. The doctor living in Israel, a nurse, a pharmacy, or any a supermarket, you have to call out and say, is there a Kohen here? Let's serve the Kohen first. Is there a Levi? Let's serve the Levi first. Is that list of priorities listed in the Mishnah and the Maseches Harayot true not only when it comes to life-threatening illnesses, or is it also true when it comes to non-life-threatening illnesses? This question was raised by Rabbi Abraham in the Mishmas Avram. He sent the Shaila to the Tzitzel Yezer, I referred to earlier, and Chelik Yoches, Simon Samaset. And Rabbi Abraham is responded to by the Tzitzel Yezer, and this is also penned by Ritzchak Zilberstein in his Sefer Halacha Refuah in Volume 3, page 91. They both comment that there is something to a line, a Torah, the Halacha, a line, a situation where there's an appointment, a schedule, and a waiting list. All of those items are universal understanding almost that there is understood that a line, an appointment, and a schedule, and a list plays a critical role in determining who's served first. So when it comes to a doctor who is has a long waiting list and he walks in and there are 15, 20 people in line, there's no need to start figuring out based upon the list of the orders in the Maseches Harayot, because both Rabbi Zilberstein as well as Rabbi Waldenberg notes that a line, a Torah, the Halacha, a line, and a list of priorities is not going to overcome and will not trump the rules of a line. A line is something that is understood. A line is something that is fair. It's common practice. And therefore, as a result, the life, the set of priorities that we refer to is not going to play a role in the Mishnah and Maseches Harayot. So, of course, any time we deal with triage, we are dealing with pain, painful situations, heart-wrenching situations, but they're happening and they're real and they're alive. These are not questions that every Rav and Rabbi should be passing on. These are questions that belong to the Gedolei Ador. I published an article on this topic in the spring 2013 edition of the Journal of Halach and Contemporary Society. If you're interested in seeing a bigger, more inclusive summary of the topic, but the case and the determination of priorities in triage and medical care is something that we have to be familiar with, have to be aware of. It's our hope and prayer that it should be halach of alola maisa by learning the topic and studying the topic. We hope and pray that Kadosh Baruch Hu should be merape cholam, should take care of Klal Yisrael, and should make sure that we are all healthy, safe, and well. May it's Hashem, we see the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehirah v'imeinu.